Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain the leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Today is part three of my interview with Jared Milam of Apartment Underground. The exciting things that are going on in Texas and could happen across the country if more of us got involved. I think that there's opportunity just waiting for us to start churches in places that we haven't thought of before with people who we're understanding are never going to go to church. Most people living in large apartment complexes and in big condo developments don't go to church. It's the people who live in the houses who mostly do so, or the small apartments. So really pay attention to this and be thinking about who else needs to hear this podcast, because this is a super opportunity for the kingdom of God.
Pray for people. Pray for God to move and do things.
I think when I hear your story, and I look at some of the things that we've tried to do, some of the things that we've done well, one of the deals that we always come up against when we think of church, kind of legacy church, is it always comes down to buildings, and it always comes down to money. I mean, you said that you closed the church because you ran out of money, which meant you ran out of time. And I have a friend in Honolulu who ran for 18 years. He ran a house church. And we were talking about money. How do you handle money? And our problem, because I got another friend that was planting a house church, one in Las Vegas, and then he did another one in Reno. And so we were trying to get him a 501c3, and he's got 10 people. And we were paying for it. But then he said, everybody that comes to my church, they're all in the gaming industry, and they're pretty much low life. And at this point, they don't have a strong relationship with Jesus. These people, you know, they're just pretty rough and raw. I wouldn't trust any of them with money. Who could be the treasurer? If you get a 501c3, you need a treasurer. So we're trying to figure out what the heck do you do with money in that kind of a situation. So I ran into my friend Wayne Ching and asked him, how do you guys handle money? And he goes, well, we just tell everybody in our group that you should open a checking account, separate checking account, and tithe to it. That money belongs to Jesus. And then as you see need in the community, then you use Jesus's money, and you make sure that you let people know that it belongs to the Lord, and that the Lord is the one blessing them. And he goes, and I go, well, does everybody do that? And he goes, no, some people are lazy. So we picked three missions organizations, and we say, if you're lazy, just tithe to them, because we don't need your money. And then he threw in something, and this is where I'm going with this. He threw in a real interesting thing. He said, as for me, my tithe supports the church. And he goes, mostly what that means is coffee and styrofoam cups, but I have plenty of money to do ministry to people in the community or in the church as need arises. And when you change it from, oh, I attend this other church and I tithe to this other church, I'm trying to do this thing in the apartment community or the condo thing wherever I live, and you turn it into this, we actually see these relationships as our church. All of a sudden, all of your money needs are met by your own personal tithe. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. We haven't gone as far as to tell people to like open their own checking account.
That's pretty radical.
It's a great idea.
Practical. Yeah.
It's a great idea. We would encourage people to be giving and supporting local Christian organizations that they believe in, or missionaries or whatever. Right. But that's exactly how, like what you said about how he sees his funds. That's what my wife and I do. We just set, we earmark, we don't have a separate account. We just earmark money.
Sure.
Right. hey, we need to set this amount of money aside. And as needs arise in the community, that's what we spend it for, yeah. right? Someone's spouse died. Let's go, like, get fajitas from this local joint down the road for them and bring them dinner, right? But we let the community know. And people just pull their money. Hey, I've got $20 to help out with that, right? Like, and people pull their money for stuff. When we do big cookouts, we're lucky because one of our teammates, he works at a meat and seafood packing company, so he can get like steaks real cheap if we want real cheap if we wanted. But again, that's like him using his job, like the advantage of his job for the blessing of the community. When we're going to have a big cookout, everybody, what can I bring? Yeah. And it's just like, you know, we don't necessarily do always potluck style, but everybody just kind of shares the burden. And when somebody has an issue, we had a couple who they got bed bugs and they lost everything in their apartment. And we helped raise money from the community to help them out, and they moved to a new apartment. They had to buy new mattresses and bedding. I mean, pretty much anything textiles, they had to buy new.
Yeah.
We were able to help them with that. We've helped people move before, either by helping them rent a truck or by backing our trucks up to their apartment and throwing stuff in. Like, it's such a big community, right? That sometimes people move from a one bedroom when they have a kid to a two bedroom or a three bedroom. And so we'll help them move from one unit to another unit. And those are just some of the things that we do. And it doesn't cost
anything.
It costs a lot of money, right? Like, when we gather together on Sundays for a meal and communion, our tithe money goes to buying the bread and the juice or the wine. And we do, we like to do like a big hors d'oeuvre spread, right? And it's everybody bring whatever you want hors d'oeuvre wise type of thing. And we spent $40 on some hors d'oeuvres for, you know, 20 people or whatever. Yeah. And that's just what we're able to do. And it's a lot simpler, and we don't need a treasurer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't have to be accountable for where the money goes.
One of the problems that we have is the whole tax write-off thing. It would be actually probably better for the church if the government took that away completely. You know, in effect, they have when they've raised the minima. You know, if you don't have to fill out the 1040 form if you can do the easy thing, and when they raise the amount that would cover. For a lot of people, there's no sense. They don't need a tax receipt for their giving to the church. But if the government took that away from us, we'd have to just sort of live by faith like they do in other countries. And yep. we wouldn't be controlled by the government, because the whole 501c3 thing is now the government has its hands on the church and what you're doing. And you know, you got to do banking, you got to do a whole lot of things that you wouldn't have to do. The other restraint is that we got to fund a building, or we got to fund a staff, those kind of things. The first century church had a lot going for it in everything that it lacked, because there was a freedom that they had, and I think if we're going to have movements, then, you know, it's one thing to have denominations or organizations or whatever, but if we're going to have movements, the movements are going to be unrestrained. And we got to be looking at where are the control points and what can I do to diminish the controls that are maybe put on me from the outside, or maybe I've put I've created limitations. One of the things that when I was pastoring, we always... we're frustrated. I mean, we started out in the hippie deal, right? So there's kind of a Peter and John in the temple mentality of, should we obey God or man? So we just looked at everything that we had to do, and we're part of a denomination, and we go, yeah, but how would they have done it 2,000 years ago? Because that's what we're going to do. So when you start having boards, we had a church board, but we saw it more as a business thing. You needed to be an elder to be on the board. But we, instead of identifying an elder board, or a deacon board, which I don't see the word board in the Bible. We thought, well, what is an elder function? What is a deacon function? Well, the deacon function in the scripture that I see in Acts, they handled the money and distribution of food. It was a servant role. And the word diakonos means slave, right? The elders, so we saw anybody who is handling the word of God, like teaching people in whatever fashion, whether it's a Bible study, it's one-on-one disciple, that's elder function. And you can drift in and out of that elder function by, you know, if you're doing stuff or not doing stuff. Same with deacon. You're a deacon. You're functioning as a deacon. So we didn't call them deacons and we didn't call them elders. We just described that this is what, when you're doing this, this is, you know, form follows function. And it freed us from a lot of conflict around who's on the board and who, and then people wanting to be on the board because their ego got into it and all that. These are the kind of things I think that you have going for you because you don't have to deal with that stuff. And I think it's really very good. So is there anything that you would like to tell people who are watching or listening to this that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do something like this, is a fail forward type of thing. There is no, like, I wish I could tell you, like, oh yeah, we've got it figured out. No, we don't have it figured out. And honestly, we move to another community. It's going to be different based on the people and the needs of that community. And, just be willing to try things, right? Be willing to try things, be open to, I think one of the things that we're learning is really important is you need to have healthy, predictable rhythms for people to join you, right? If everything is fly by the seat of your pants, it's hard for people to, like, last minute be available, especially if you've got, like, we're in our community, there's a lot of families with kids. I can't drop everything at the last minute and bring all three of my kids over to your place necessarily. If I can, I will. But I mean, kids play sports, kids have homework, kids do all kinds of things. And so have some rhythms that you move in that are predictable for people of the community to be able to join you in, should they choose to. And then mix in with that the random organic last minute things as well, right? And God will work in both of those spaces, right? I mean, a lot of the deepest conversations that I have with people aren't because I planned to have a Bible study. It's actually the neighbor that I met as our Bible study wrapped up, and he was asking me, what were you guys talking about? And I stood outside for 30 minutes and ended up, he shared with me, like, his struggle with alcohol, and I prayed for him. And then he was like, well, can I pray for you too? And I said, sure. And he prayed for me. I mean, that's a purely organic conversation, but you just have to make yourself available for it. So have healthy rhythms that people can join you in, but then also be ready for the last minute types of things, for God to be able to move in. As far as apartments are concerned, some of the lessons that we've learned is you're going to have to be patient with people. It can take a long time to when your apartment life team, there's a noticeable shift. A lot of teams, you have a 2-year commitment, right? And in your first year, a lot of it's people are just getting used to your face, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so to move into an apartment community, look, God can do whatever he wants, but to move into an apartment community, expect in the first year to see all this stuff. People are feeling you out.
Yeah.
They are like, who are you? I don't know about this. And it's going to take at minimum a year of you living in this community for people to have the early stages of opening up with you, right? Of them being willing to open their door and come outside, let alone invite you in or come into your own home.
Yes.
Right. And so just continue to be faithful, continue to love your neighbors, right? One of the things that, that we talk about is that we're here in this community to share the love and the presence of Christ. And what does the presence of Christ look like? Well, I think it looks like the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we, as believers, are going to, we're going to fail at times, but what we're trying to grow in is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we practice those towards one another as a community of believers, and then we practice it to the community at large that we live in, you'll begin to see changes in the community, in the way that even neighbors who aren't believers interact with one another. And that, right, is part of being a gospel presence in the community. Everyone that comes to your gathering, like for us, some people just want a place to belong, and you're welcome. Like,
sure.
If you're like, Jesus ain't for me, but can I hang out with you guys? Heck yeah, you can hang out with us. And it may take 5 years of you hanging out with us to finally make Jesus your Lord and Savior, or you still may not, but you're always welcome here. But you will start to see the influence of this gospel community that you have in your at-large community, in the way that even people who aren't believers interact with one another. And if that isn't being an ambassador for the kingdom and starting to see his kingdom come, I don't know what is. And so be faithful in the little things, be faithful in and patient in your interactions with your neighbors, and fruit will come. Fruit will come. It just may take longer than you thought it did.
That's good. Patience is really a virtue. So if somebody is listening to this and they're going, oh, I need to know more, I want to talk to Jared, how do they connect with you?
So we're in the middle of like a rebranding right now as Apartment Underground. We were Apartment 247, but that was really complicated for people. So my email right now is Jared, J-A-R-E-D, at A-P-T, Aaron Paul Tom, 247.org, A-P-T247.org. They can email me there. And it'll get forwarded to where it needs to. They can also look us up at apartmentunderground.org. One apartment, not apartments, apartmentunderground.org.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.